Aryama Sahavarsha Purushai Pitri Ganadi Patir Upadavati Mantram Imam Chanujapati. Translation: Shukadeva Goswami continued, in Hiranmaya Varsha, the Supreme Lord Vishnu lives in the form of a tortoise, Kurma Sharira. This most dear and beautiful form is always worshipped there in devotional service by Aryama, the chief resident of Hiranmaya Varsha, along with other inhabitants of that land. They chant the following hymns. Purport: the word Priyatama Dearmost is very significant in this verse. Each devotee regards a particular form of the Lord as most dear. Because of an atheistic mentality, some people think that the tortoise, boar, and fish incarnations of the Lord are not very beautiful. They do not know that any form of the Lord is always the fully opulent personality of Godhead. Since one of his opulences is infinite beauty, all the Lord's incarnations are very beautiful and are appreciated as such by the devotees. Non-devotees, however, think that Lord Krishna's incarnations are ordinary material creatures, and therefore they distinguish between the beautiful and not beautiful. A certain form of the Lord is worshipped by a particular devotee because he loves to see that form of the Lord. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Advaitim Achutim Anadim Anantarupam Adyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha. The very beautiful form of the Lord is always youthful. Sincere servants of a particular form of the Lord always see that form as very beautiful, and thus they engage in constant devotional service to him. Once more, translation. Shukadeva Goswami continued, in Hiranmaya Varsha, the Supreme Lord Vishnu lives in the form of a tortoise, Kurma Sharir. This most dear and beautiful form is always worshipped there in devotional service by Aryama, the chief resident of Hiranmaya Varsha, along with the other inhabitants of that land. They chant the following hymns. So the tortoise Kurma is one of the famous, important incarnations of the Lord. In pastimes of Lord Kurma are described in detail in the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There was a conflict between the demons and devotees. That time the demons were led by Bali Maharaj. As I recall, they became very powerful because they very attentively worshipped their spiritual master, Sukracharya, even though he wasn't a bona fide spiritual master as we know, coming in bona fide Vaishnava disciplic succession and preaching the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, he was a ritualistic Brahmin. No? The demons also followed Vedic principles in order to become powerful and accomplish their goals, materialistic goals. But they knew that if we properly follow the Vedic injunctions, if we respect our guru, then we'll get strength. So in this way, they became powerful. Whereas the demigods became weak. Indra, he didn't properly respect his spiritual master. Brihaspati came into the assembly of Indra. Indra was seated with his wife, joking, and didn't attentively receive and worship his spiritual master. So the demigods lost strength. This is a very important principle in spiritual life, in Krishna consciousness, in Vedic society, to receive the Brahmins nicely, to respect the Brahmins nicely, Brahmins and Vaishnavas. Even it's mentioned, it's a story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's even mentioned the pujari, if he's worshipping the deity and there's no one else to receive the guest, Vaishnava, Brahman, he can even stop that puja for a short time and go and receive that Vaishnava, Brahman. So the story is there of Krishnadas Kaviraj and his brother. They were living in Bengal, and once Aminiketan Ram Das came to visit their house. And Aminiketan Ram Das was a great devotee of Lord Nityananda. Somewhat, a little bit eccentric, I think. He used to play the flute and throw dice in jest, I think, also. It's mentioned. he was a great devotee of Lord Nityananda, known as such. And when he came to the house of Krishnadas Kaviraj's brother, then the pujari was doing puja, and he didn't receive Aminiketan Ram Das. So Aminiketan Ram Das became upset, not on his own account, but because he felt that it's a disrespect to Lord Nityananda. This pujari has not greeted me nicely. So he said he broke his flute in anger and went away. And Krishnadas said, at that time, my brother fell down. You see, due to his offenses. And then and there was some argument between Krishnadas and his brother, because his brother only respected Lord Chaitanya. He didn't respect Lord Nityananda. So Krishnadas was, arguing, you have to respect both brothers. And Lord Nityananda, as we know, is the elder brother. He's also, Balaram is the elder brother of Krishna. Lord Nityananda is also elder to Lord Chaitanya. He appeared on the planet sometime before Lord Chaitanya. So both have to be respected. There's a story how once Murari Gupta came to see Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and first he offered his obeisances to Lord Chaitanya and then to Lord Nityananda. And then he went home and he was feeling Lord Chaitanya not pleased with me. So next day when he came again, he offered respect first to Lord Nityananda and then to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya was very pleased, expressed his pleasure. This is the proper etiquette. So like that, Krishnadas was saying that you are not respecting in the proper way. This is like logic of half a hen. Yesterday Maharaj mentioned that. Arda kuti nyaya. That the farmer had a hen, and he liked to get the eggs, but he didn't want to spend money to feed the hen. So he decided to cut the hen in half, throw away the front portion, I'll just get the eggs. But of course, he killed the hen, he lost everything. So, in the same way, Krishnadas was saying to his brother, if you don't respect Lord Nityananda, this is like half-hand logic. You see, you think you can just get benefit from Lord Chaitanya, but actually you won't. You'll be committing offense. So then in the night he had a dream, Krishnadas, and he saw Lord Nityananda, very beautiful, long garland, bumblebees buzzing around, is dancing in ecstasy, and he expressed great pleasure that Krishnadas had spoken in that way, and he advised him, go to Vrindavan, you see, there you will desire all things. And so he came here to Vrindavan, and the Vaishnavas at that time, they requested him to write the later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. As you know, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, the focus is more on the Navadip pastimes. In Adi Lila, we find the childhood pastimes, and then in the Madhya Lila, all the pastimes of youth, marriage, and starting the Sankirtan movement, in great detail. So in the Antya Lila, just some summary of Lord Chaitanya's pastime after he took sannyas and went to Puri. It's quite briefly summarized. So the Vaishnavas wanted that someone should compile in detail the pastimes after sannyas in Puri, South India, Vrindavan. Instructions, philosophical instruction, especially to Rupa Sanatan, Sarvabhauma, Ramananda, Prakashananda. So in that way, we see he is just, Krishnadasa just summarized the Navadip, childhood and Navadip pastimes in the Adi Lila, and then after sannyas in the Madhya Lila, then it's so elaborate description of pastimes, going to Puri and then going to South India, going to North India, Allahabad, Varanasi, Vrindavan, and instruct, and so many important philosophical conversation, which Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada summarized in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Then Antya Lila also deals with later pastimes in Puri, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always merged in the ecstasy of Vipralamba Bhav, separation from Krishna in the mood of the gopis, or enter into the pastimes of the Lord, completely lose external consciousness. Sometimes his body would become elongated, sometimes it's shrunken up like that, in an ecstasy, transcendental ecstasy. So in this way, the Vaishnavas wanted to that Krishnadas should compile those pastimes. So he came before the deity of Lord Govinda, and at that time the garland of the Lord fell off, and the pujari came and put it around Krishnadas's neck. In this way he felt he had got the blessings of Lord Chaitanya, and he took up that important service of compiling the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So anyway, we see importance of respecting the Vaishnavas, the Brahmins, the spiritual master. Miniketan broke his flute, and went out of the house of Krishnadas Kaviraj's brother, he said, here I see the second Rumaharsha. As we know, when Lord Balaram was touring the holy places, he didn't want to be present at the Battle of Kurukshetra. So he went touring the holy places, and he came to Naimisharanya. And that time, Rumaharshan Sutta was speaking on the Puranas, Vyasadeva divided the one Veda into four. He put different disciples in charge of each of the Vedas. And then he also compiled the Puranas and Itihasas, histories, which are considered as a fifth Veda. And Ramaharshan was put in charge of, you know, of giving discourses on the Puranas and the histories. So many Puranas, when you see in the beginning, it says Ramaharshan Uvacha, he's speaking. So when Lord Balaram came, he was sitting on the Vyasasan and speaking on the Puranas. When everyone saw Lord Balaram, all the sages, they stood up to welcome him. But Ramaharshan didn't. He remained seated. Although that is normally the etiquette, the speaker doesn't get up. Still, in this case, he should have, because Lord Balaram himself. So Lord Balaram took a blade of grass and tapped him on the forehead, and he left his body. So the sages were very shocked. We had given him undisturbed duration of life so he could speak on the Puranas. Now, what to do? Lord Balaram said, I can bring him back to life if you like. But they said, no, he has committed some offense. Please do something else to rectify the situation. He said, all right, the son is a representative of the father, so we'll install his son on the Vyasasan to speak on the Puranas. So his son is Ugrashava Sutta or Sutta Goswami. So that's how the Srimad Bhagavatam came to be spoken by Srila Sutta Goswami. And they also requested Lord Balaram to kill one demon, Balvala. He's had a fiery red beard, red hair, used to fly in the sky and pass stool and urine on top of the sages when they were listening to the scriptures and performing sacrifices. They were very disturbed. Please get rid of this demon. So Lord Balaram pulled him down from the sky with his plow and killed him. In this way, the sages were very satisfied, and they went on hearing from Sudha Goswami. But anyway, Mani Ketan Ram Das said, yes, this is like second Ramaharshan, you see, not respecting, not on his own account, but not respecting Lord Nityananda, who's non-different from Balaram. So anyhow, the demigods, because Indra didn't respect Brihaspati, they became weak. The demons became more powerful. And then it was decided to churn the ocean of milk. That Lord said there would be nectar of immortality if the ocean of milk was churned. So the demons and the demigods, they both wanted to get the nectar of immortality. And they brought Mandara Mountain to use as a churning rod. But it fell on some of them and killed many of them. So the Lord, he lifted the mountain and he took the form of Kurma, so the mountain could be placed on top. And the Bhagavatam mentions that the Kurma was 800,000 miles in size. So very gigantic form of the Lord. And he held a mountain on his back, and then they used Vasuki, the divine serpent, like a rope, wrapped him around the mountain, and they were pulling each end. Lord also appeared on top of the mountain, and the ocean was churned, and many things came out, such as poison, very strong poison. They had to beg Lord Shiva to please protect him. He drank the poison, and therefore his throat became blue. He's called Nilakanta because of drinking that poison. And some of it spilled, and it was sucked up by scorpions and serpents. That's why they have powerful poison. Anyhow, then the nectar came out, and of course, the demons were very anxious to have it, grabbed it. So the Lord appeared again as Mohini Murti and charmed the demons, said, "Give me the nectar, I'll distribute it to you, don't worry. You sit in lines, demigods and demons." And then she began distributing to the demigods. So the demons realized what was happening, and then Rahu moved over and sat in the line of the demigods and got some, but then Lord cut off his head, so in that way his head remained immortal. And the planet, Rahu planet, was there. So in this way, the demigods, they got nectar. Then there was, of course, a battle, and Bali Maharaj, it's a long story, we won't get into all the details there, but he was powerful because of the of worshipping and respecting his guru properly, and so the demigods were weakened, but then the Lord appeared as Vamana to protect the demigods and tricked Bali Maharaj into giving 3 steps of land, and then he expanded into a gigantic form of Trivikram. With 2 steps, covered the whole universe. With the 3rd step, kicked a hole in the roof of the universe. The Ganges, Mandakini Ganges, comes down from the causal, drop of the causal ocean comes down in the form of Mandakini in the heavenly planets, Ganga on this planet. And then Lord asked Bali where to put the 3rd step, and he said, "Put it on my head." So in this way, he was transformed to a demon, into a great devotee. He is famous for Atmanivedanam, full surrender to the Lord. So in this way, there are many forms of the Lord, many wonderful pastimes of the Lord, and as Srila Prabhupada mentions here in this purport, different devotees are attracted by different forms of the Lord, and for them, that form is the most beautiful. Non-devotees may think some forms are not beautiful, as fish, tortoise, boar, etc. But actually, all the forms of the Lord are transcendental and spiritual. Satchitananda Vigraha, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And one should not think of them as being material forms in any way. So regarding Kurma, there's also Kurma Purana. When Lord Chaitanya was in South India, in Madurai, otherwise known as Southern Mathura, then he went to the home of one Ramdas Vipra. And this Ramdas was absorbed in the mood of worship of the Lord, especially of Sitaram, Lakshman, in the forest. So when we invited the Lord, but the Lord went, they hadn't cooked. And the Lord was saying, "What's wrong?" He seemed very depressed, lamenting. And he said, "Well, when Sita brings, when Lakshman brings the ingredients, then Sita will cook." Well, Lord Chaitanya is very pleased by that mood, you know, his meditation in that way. But then he saw the Brahmin was lamenting. Finally, at 3 o'clock, everything was ready. Lord took prasad. But then the Brahmin was fasting. "Why are you fasting?" "I'm fasting because Ravana stole Sita." But Lord Chaitanya said, "No, he didn't actually steal the real Sita. He only stole illusory Sita. The demon cannot touch Sita Devi, the internal, transcendental pleasure potency of the Lord." So he said, you know, no need to fast, don't lament, take your prasad. So in this way, Chaitanya Charitamrita says he saved the Brahmin's life. Then Lord Chaitanya went to Rameswaram, and there he was sitting, discussing with the Brahmanas, and he heard them reciting this Kurma Purana. They had some very old manuscript. And there the story is told how when Ravana stole Sita, actually Agnidev took the real Sita away and delivered the illusory Sita to Ravana. So when Lord Ram came and defeated Ravana and took back Mother Sita, then Agnidev, you know, he tested Mother Sita. She had to pass through the fire, and Agnidev then delivered the real Mother Sita. So Lord Chaitanya, he had this manuscript copied on new leaves, and he took the original manuscript and he brought it back to this Brahmana, Ramdas Vipra, just to show him the, you know, authentic proof. The Brahmana, of course, was in great ecstasy. Lord Chaitanya showed him so much mercy. There's also a holy place in Andhra Pradesh. It's called Kurma Kshetra. It is said Ramanujacharya, he was thrown there by Lord Jagannath from Jagannath Puri. there he established, there was an ancient deity of Kurma. At first he thought perhaps deity of Lord Shiva, but then he understood this is Kurma, and he arranged for nice temple worship in that holy place. And near there, when Lord Chaitanya went there, near there he met one Brahmin named Kurma. So this is a famous story, of course, how the Brahmin was lamenting, Kurma Brahmin was lamenting that I'm suffering in material life, family life, please let me leave and go with you. And Lord Chaitanya was traveling and dancing in ecstasy and inspiring everyone to be Krishna conscious. Let me go with you. But Lord Chaitanya said, don't speak like that again. He didn't want everybody leaving their houses and following after him, thousands of people, and becoming irresponsible. So he said, you stay in your home, but always chant the holy names of Krishna in this way. Remember Krishna. And then he gave the famous instruction, Yari Deka Tarikaha Krishna Upadesh Amaragya Guruha Tare Desh. Whoever you meet, tell him about Krishna. And in this way you become guru and deliver this country. And in this way, Kurma Brahma followed those instructions. And in he mentioned that wherever he went, Lord Chaitanya gave these same instructions. So these instructions weren't given to a prominent sannyasi or philosopher follower of Lord Chaitanya, but to a very simple householder, brahmana. So there, in that sense, and to many others also. So they're meant for everyone. And Srila Prabhupada would often cite that verse in his Vyasa Puja addresses. He would often cite that verse several times. I remember in London in 1973, in Vyasa Puja address, Prabhupada cited that verse, and he said, I want all my disciples to become guru. It is not difficult. You just repeat what you have heard from your spiritual master like that. In this way, pass on the same message which is coming down through the parampara from Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, all the acharyas. You keep on passing on that same message, especially show example by always chanting Hare Krishna and encouraging others to chant Hare Krishna. Also had the experience myself in a, and also in Andhra Pradesh in 1976. We were then on a library party, BBT library party, selling sets of Srila Prabhupada's books in the libraries and universities. So there was installation of Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan in Hyderabad. Of course, nowadays, if there's a big festival, everyone will rush there. But we had to go there to distribute books. But our party leader told us, no, you don't rush there. You just stop on the way. So Prabhupada installed deities on Janmashtami, but we spent a Janmashtami in Bhubaneswar. We were based in Calcutta, Mayapur, but so we had to move gradually. We spent Janmashtami in Bhubaneswar. Then ISKCON had recently got the land. Gaur Govinda Maharaj was living there in a small cottage. There were two small cottages. So it was a very, very humble Janmashtami celebration. A small Pandal Maharaj arranged and gave lecture. And anyway, then we moved on along the coast to some of the other cities, Vishakhapatnam, Vijayawada, Guntur, in just a few days. And we arrived in Hyderabad. Prabhupada was still there. So he gone into his room. And that time in India, maybe you remember, there was a tabloid newspaper, Blitz, and it was very critical of ISKCON. And somebody raised a question in Parliament, is ISKCON funded by the CIA? And this was published in Blitz, and it's like a scandal. ISKCON, you know, is just a CIA agent. Prabhupada's a CIA agent. He's getting his funds from there. Prabhupada was very upset by this. And in Hyderabad at that time, some local newspaper published a very nice article about ISKCON. And it was written by a devotee, all the glories of ISKCON all over the world. So the devotees were reading out this article to Srila Prabhupada in his room. And Prabhupada was very pleased. He said, yes, he said, this is, ventilate this in the press, he said. Send it to the editor of Bliss, Blitz, not Blitz, Blitz. This is not CIA money, this is my money. I have translated these books, and my disciples are selling them, and we are earning so many lakhs every day, and we are spending, to spread Krishna consciousness. I am bringing Western money to India. I'm spreading Indian culture, I'm bringing Western money and spending in India. This is my business, this is Bhaktivedanta Swami's business. This is not CIA money. So you have to publish this in a press. So in this way, Prabhupada, he was very pleased to hear the article. And then he said that Gandhi, he had to spend so much energy to drive out the British from India. You see. But now he said, and he was pointing to me, he said, the same Britisher, he is distributing my books. And he said, and this one here, Harisori, he is giving me massage. He said, so who is better, Gandhi or me? Then he was asking us, how is your health? He said, he was asking us how many sets of books we sold him. How is your health? So he said, it's okay, Srila Prabhupada, good. He said, keep your health good. He said, just eat the boiled food, some boiled vegetables, some fruits, some milk. every day like Ekadashi. He gave that recommendation for traveling in India. Don't eat cooked food, but especially cooked means cooked in ghee. Don't eat rich food, eat simple food. And then he went on to say, Yarideka Tarikaha, Krishna Upadesh, Amaragya Guraha Tare Desh. You know, whoever you meet, tell him about you. He said, this is a guru's work. He said, you tell everybody, take the message of Krishna. Either give them a book or speak personally. Either, he said, this is the guru's work. So same thing, you have to pass on the message of Lord Krishna as it's coming to us through Srila Prabhupada, and of course Prabhupada, it took so much labor to translate the books, the important scriptures, the important Vaishnava scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, to translate them in a very authentic way, citing the commentaries of the previous acharyas, and have them published very beautifully. And the Prabhupada is very particular about the standard of the book publication. And of course he pushed the book distribution very, very strongly. Because Lord Krishna's instructions, Lord Chaitanya's instructions, all contained in these books, and of course he's presented the purports in a very pragmatic, very practical way for people in the modern world. So even if we're not able to speak very eloquently, still we can distribute books, and in this way Prabhupada is preaching. Of course he wanted that the devotees read his books also. He once said they're not just for distribution. I want my devotees to read my books. And I think he told Harikesh Maharaj, you're authorized to read this book 24 hours a day. So he wanted devotees to read and know them, like he said, like lawyers know their law books. So in the same way, devotees should know the books and quotes from them, and in this way become competent to preach the message of Krishna consciousness and distribute it all over the world. So this is the work of the guru, and the disciples' duty is to continue the work of the guru and inspire others to go on continuing it, so that the Krishna consciousness movement spreads to every town and village of the world, as Lord Chaitanya predicted. So thank you. Hare Krishna. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya. Hare Krishna. Thank you. We'll finish there because it's a little late, right? Okay.